But you need to hide the Word of God in your heart. And the way I hide it in my heart is, first of all, I got it in a book. And then I can read it. And then I can memorize it. I can study it. And I get it in my heart. New year, new opportunity to hide God's Word in your heart. Ephesians 3:20 today, we're in a series that I'm calling Fresh Start. I'm glad God gives us opportunities for new things, that He gives us a fresh start. Nobody wants to admit that maybe you had a failure in your life in the last year, but it is a reality of life. And I'm thankful that God gives us new opportunities. Are you looking forward to the new things that God wants to do in your life in the coming year? Well, for that to happen, we have got to take some steps towards walking in the way that He would have us to walk in, so that new things can begin to spring up, as the prophet Isaiah tells us that we've talked about the last 2 weeks. We're taking the word start, using it as an acronym to represent the steps we take to experience the new things that God wants to do in our life. S stands for stop making excuses. I preached that message several weeks ago. T, I preached last week, take stock. You've got to evaluate your life. If you've missed last week's message, you can look it up, listen to it online at our website. A today in start is act in faith. If you want a fresh start, you have to launch out in new territory that requires you to have faith. Do you have a sermon outline that's in your bulletin? You can follow along with the message. The Bible says that the key to changing anything is faith. Matthew 9 says, according to your faith, it will be done to you. Say that with me. According to your faith, it will be done unto you. It's a very simple statement, but a powerful one. According to your faith, it will be done unto you. That means we tend to get out of life what we believe God for. What you believe God for in your life, you can receive from the Lord. If you want to be out of debt, well, begin to believe God to set you free from the stranglehold of debt, and begin to take the steps necessary to work yourself out of that predicament that you find yourself in. The Bible says, according to your faith, it will be done to you. So in the area of finances, and I'm not preaching about money today, but I will say this, I got to begin to act in faith according to God's word in the area of finances so that I can experience God's blessing on my life. And whatever the word says, I need to do it. I need to act on it. I need to live in obedience to it, and then God will bless it. God will do His part, amen? The person who's, now, listen, what are you believing God for in 2019? That's what I want you to write on that sermon outline sometime today. What am I believing God for in 2019? It might be a different job, a better job, a promotion. It might be an improved marriage. It might be an improved relationship with your kids. It might be deliverance from some kind of stumbling block that has been in your life that has plagued you. But listen to me. If I believe God to do it and begin to act in faith, then God will manifest His will in my life. The person who says, I can, and the person who says, I can't, they're both right. Did you hear that? The person who says, I can, and the person who says, I can't, they're both right. See, I believe God can. And because God can, I can. Because God can, I can believe God for better things in my life. And we tend to get out of life what we expect. So you need to start expecting more. You need to start expecting more from yourself, more from God, more from life. That's the principle of faith. Now, I hope you found Ephesians 3:20. and your sermon outline. Most of us never take advantage of God's abundant resources. There is a life of abundance available to you. Many of us have been squandering in places that we should have no business being in, and God wants to deliver us and bring us to a life of abundance and a life of victory. Amen? Verse 20, Ephesians chapter 3. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now to who? To God, who is able. Say, God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is in us. That power is in you. If you know Christ as your Savior, you've given the Lord your life to the Lord, then the power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. That makes you more than a conqueror. And if God be for me, who can be against me? That verse represents what God can do in your life in 2019. I want you right now to think of the greatest thing you can think of that God could do for you. God would say, I can top that. You might be sitting there, oh, I can't believe God for that because that's impossible. And God says, whatever you think of, I'm able to do exceedingly abundantly above what you can ask or think of because of the power that works within you. So God can blow your mind away with what he can do in your life in the coming year. Somebody said God gave us atomic bomb power, but we live firecracker lives. That's true. And the problem is we seldom tap into the resources that God has available to us. So what is the key to tapping into it? According to your faith, it will be done unto you. In other words, God says, you get to choose how much I will bless your life. You get to choose what I will do in your life. What you believe God for, God can do in your life. In a very practical sense, you might say that we get what we expect God to do in our life. We tend to see what we expect to see. We feel what we expect to feel. We act the way we expect to act. And eventually, we achieve what we expect to achieve. So I need to get with God. I need to let God give me dreams and visions for my life and begin to believe God for greater things. There are two ways you can live your life. I mean, when you boil it all down, two ways. Number one, you can choose to live your life with fear. Always worrying about what's going to happen. Always worried about what's happened. Always worried about the situation you find yourself in. Or you can choose to live by faith. You can live by fear or faith. You've got two choices. In the Old Testament, we find a man by the name of Job. Job was a righteous man, but at times he was a bit pessimistic. In fact, Job 3:25 says, what I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. How many can relate to that verse? Right? What I feared, it's come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. Sounds like Job, a righteous man, spent some time fearing, living in fear, living in dread, with, you know, instead of walking in faith and believing God to deliver him from these circumstances, he found those things happening in your life. I'm not saying that bad things will never happen. Please, this is not a mumbo-jumbo psychology message of just, you know, kind of trying to psych you up with some pop psychology. Bad things do happen to good people. Bad things do happen to godly people. But I do believe that many of us squander in a life that is way below what God wants us to experience because we do not believe him for greater things. What the key to unlocking the resources of God in your life is faith. You can live by faith or you can live by fear. You know, anybody who lives by fear is setting themselves up for failure. They focus on what they don't want instead of what they do want. and they become a victim of a self-fulfilling prophecy. Oh, I don't think I could do that. And guess what? You can't. Oh, I couldn't. No, and you won't. Now, Paul, on the other hand, notice Paul in Philippians 1:20. He was an optimist. And he said, I live in eager expectation while I'm going through all these trials. Wow, we could stop right there with the sermon. That's pretty good, isn't it? Paul says, I live in eager expectation while I'm going through all these trials. I'm expecting God in the midst of this difficulty to deliver me. I'm expecting God and believing God to heal me. I'm expecting God to provide from all my needs. I'm expecting God to bless my life. I'm expecting God to use me in his kingdom, in his work. I'm expecting God to use me to lead somebody to Jesus. Listen to me, friends. That's how you can live in fear. Oh, nobody would ever. Here's fear. Nobody would ever want to hear what I have to say about the good news of Christ. Nobody would want to hear about the fullness of life that he offers. Well, you can talk yourself into never witnessing. Or I could say, you know, Lord, there's somebody out there today that wants to hear about this good news. Would you bring them into my path? Will you give me an opportunity? That's faith, friends. It's faith to believe God, to use you to make a difference in this world. And Paul says, I'm going through trials, but I'm also living in expectation. He was a man of faith. He could be cheerful even when he couldn't be happy. That's a contradiction. Cheerful when you can't be happy. See, maybe you're not. I'm not asking you to be happy about bad things. You know, if you've got a diagnosis from the doctor that's not good, you're not going to be happy about that. I'm not going to say pretend that it's not there. No, but you can be of good cheer because Jesus said, I have overcome the world and my hope is in the Lord and not in my doctor. It's not in myself. It's not in my circumstances. My hope is in God. So I can be cheerful even when bad things are happening in my life. Now, why should I expect the best? Why should I be a person of faith? There are several reasons. I'm going to boil it down to three. Number one, expecting the best honors God. When you expect the best, you are honoring God. If you say in the midst of your trials, I am trusting God, it's like this. You're saying, my daddy can do anything. That's what that says. That honors God. That glorifies God. What a testimony. When you face the trials of your life, but you come in contact with people and they see that you have a positive attitude. You have faith. You're believing God. You are a person who's not going to be drugged down by the trials of this life, but you're living in the victory that Christ has given to you. William Carey said this. Listen, expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. Because that brings honor to God. Expect great things. Attempt great things. Because that honors the Lord. How many want to honor God with your life? How many want to glorify God? Then be a person of faith. Renounce the fear. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Number two, expecting the best increases your ability. Athletes know this. They know that the winning edge is not ability, it's attitude. It's how you view the circumstance. You know, I played in high school, our basketball team, we were pretty good, but there was a defeated mentality that existed in our school. We just, you know, it seemed like we couldn't get over that hurdle. We just kind of expected to lose. We played not to lose rather than to win. We need to have a winning attitude. Do you know that Muhammad Ali only lost two fights in his whole lifetime? And both of those fights, they had one thing in common. In the press conference prior to the fight, he said these words, and I quote, "Now if I lose this fight," he said that twice, and both times he lost. He had a defeated mentality before he fought. It's the only time he ever said it, and he lost. Now think of a biblical example. When David went out to fight Goliath, everybody was saying what? He's too big. We can't kill him.
He's too strong. You know what David said? David said, he's too big, I can't miss. It's all in your attitude. David believed God, and he expected God to defeat the giant. And he believed God, and he accomplished great things for God. Expecting the best honors God, increases your ability, and number three, it encourages others. Because faith is contagious. It really is. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, you know, Roger, I'm a born pessimist. I try to be optimistic, but I'm just naturally negative. I tend to see bad things. I tend to see what is wrong instead of what is right. I wish I could have more faith. I wish I could be more positive, but I am just a worrier. Sound like some of us? Well, how in the world can I become more optimistic? That's what the remainder of the message is about. I'm going to give you six things really quickly, and I'm watching my time. I know what I'm doing here, so I'll move quickly. I will not talk very long, but if you put these six things into practice, I believe that you can begin to act in faith on a greater level than you've ever acted before. And I believe that God will honor that. And it pleases God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So today, tomorrow, this week, this year, I want to walk in faith. I want to live in faith. I want to believe God for things that I could never accomplish in and of myself. It takes God. And faith is a lot like a muscle. If you don't use it, you got it. So this morning, I'm going to give you six calisthenics to build your faith. Six exercises. If you begin to implement these into your life, you will grow stronger in your faith. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world. And I guarantee you, with absolute assurance, you practice these exercises, your faith will grow stronger. So here we go. Number one, it kind of ties into with what Paul was talking about this morning as he was sharing a message from another pastor. Start your day with faith. That's one. Number two, look for the good in your situation. Number three, give your problems to God. Number four, eliminate negative words. Number five, associate with people of faith. Number six, remember your future. The Bible calls it your blessed hope. So start your day with faith. Have you discovered that the first 10 minutes of your day sets the tone for the rest of the day? Psalm 5:3. The psalmist says, in the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. What's that? What's the message behind that? In the morning, you hear my voice. Well, in the morning, you pray. If you don't pray, he's not going to hear your voice. Hello? If you don't pray, he's going to be going, hello, are you there? I'm here. Start your day with faith. In the morning, I lay my request before you, and I wait in what? Expectation. He says, start your day. I lay my request before the Lord, and I wait in expectation. Now, those of you who have a sluggish start to every morning, anybody relate? All right, you're sluggish. You're kind of sluggish. You know, you don't even believe in God till the afternoon. It doesn't matter. I can tell that joke every Sunday and you'll still laugh. Well, let me tell you, you have to be careful how you start your day. And don't start your day with the morning news. Most of it's negative. 90% of it is negative. So here you go. You wake up in the morning and you're having a hard time getting going. So you turn on Bad Morning America. And then while you're eating your Cheerios, you read the newspaper that they charge you probably $3 to read. And it's full of advertisements and bad news. Then on your way to work, you listen to talk radio. I'm talking your language now. No wonder you get to work and you're living in fear instead of faith. You need to start your day with good news, not bad news. You need to read the Bible. Have a quiet time. Listen to some praise music. Start listening to God. Lay your request before God and then wait in expectation. Start your day in faith. Psalm 118, verse 24, I want you to read it aloud with me. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. That's how you're supposed to start your day. Here's your homework. You didn't know you'd come to church and get a homework assignment. But I want you to try this on for the next 7 days. When you wake up, I want you to get out of bed, stand up, and say in a loud, boisterous voice, "This is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it." And then duck. Because your wife's going to hit you with the pillow. Now you say, "Roger, why should I do that?" Well, what you're doing when you do this is you are verbally affirming truth that will cause you to feel better. I could send you to a psychiatrist and you could pay a copay, and you know, this is better than that. It is. It says, you know, verbally affirm the truth and your faith will grow stronger. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and I wait in expectation. Number two, look for the good in every situation. Now, I know some of you are very gifted. You are so talented, you can find a problem in every solution. Oh, some of you are either laughing at yourself or your wife or your husband or your relative. You know what it's like? Every time there's a slow, there's always something wrong with it. No, let's find the good in every situation. The Bible says, do you believe the Bible? We know that in all things, God works for the good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That tells me there's always good. And good triumphs evil. And God specializes in bringing good out of the bad. And God is saying to us, we can be realistic and at the same time optimistic. Realistic, but have faith. I know there's a problem. I know there's difficulty. I'm not talking about having that phony baloney psychology self-help kind of stuff that never says, oh, no, there's no bad. You know, and if I am having bad things happen, it's because there's something wrong with me or I don't have enough faith. No, you can find the good because God is at work. I'm talking about affirming the truth of God. Ask yourself, what is God doing in this bad situation? Let me give you a great illustration. Thomas Edison, 67 years old, a great fire burned down his famous laboratory in New Jersey. Not only did he lose several millions of dollars of equipment, he also lost the records of his most important work in life. The next morning, he walked out among the charred embers and he said this, there is great value in disaster. All our mistakes are burned up. Thank God we can start fresh. There's a great lesson in that. All our mistakes are burned up. We get to start anew. You know, first responders probably have experienced people in grief who have lost a home. But you know what? I guarantee you, if they've lost everything but still have their family in their arms, they might say, we've lost a lot, but we've not lost what is most precious to us. We need to find the good, and trust God to redeem the rest. Thomas Edison turned a stumbling block into a stepping stone. A lot of people, when these things happen, it's a stumbling block for them. They get out of church. They get depressed. They start drinking. They start doing things they shouldn't be doing and maybe have never done before. And they just get down and get defeated. And the enemy falls and preys on that, pops on it, and destroys their life. Begin every day with God. Look for the good in every situation. and give your problems to God. That sounds trite, but it's huge. Worry comes when you assume responsibility that God never intended for you to have. When you start playing God and you start trying to be the general manager of the universe, you're going to get discouraged. Listen to me. We need to hear this. It's so easy to get overwhelmed with all that's going on in the world, and that's all you ever talk about. Hey, let me tell you. This world is not our home. Our life is in the eternal kingdom of God. And if all I ever do is talk about the problems of today, politics and economy and this and that, I can get so down, so defeated, that my eyes are just on earthly things and not on the things of God. Because how many know God can move in the midst of difficulty and bring the light of the gospel to people who are hurting? Listen, we are living in a hurting world. And if all we ever do is mope around, we offer the world no hope. Let us be a church of hope and light and help. Let's have faith. Let's put a smile on our face. Let's believe God for greater things. Amen. Thank you for sharing that with me. And I'm not making this stuff up. 2 Corinthians 1:8. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. This is Paul. He says, I don't want you to be uninformed. I'm going to tell you about the problems. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Paul was saying, our problems are so bad, we're not even sure we're going to make it. I mean, our lives are on the line here. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But notice the tone. Realistic, but optimistic. Realistic, but optimistic. Listen, but this happened, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. Well, some of you believe it. He's delivered us from such deadly peril, and he will deliver us. And on him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. Boy, he had a faith. He gave his problems over to God. He laid his request before the Lord and waited in expectation. Number four, and this is big, but I won't talk about it long. Eliminate negative words. Have you ever talked yourself into feeling bad? You know, by the way, have I told you that I've just been really tired lately? It seems like I just can't get going. I think I'm getting tired right now, I think. You know, I thought I slept okay last night, but, you know, boy, something just hit me here. And, I don't know if I can continue. I think probably we ought to just pray a prayer and be done for today. Okay. You're too honest. I'm telling you can talk yourself into anything. You can talk yourself into being sick. You can complain and it will be a self-fulfilling prophecy. You can talk yourself into depression. Or you can even talk yourself into a sickness. Or you can have faith. You can be optimistic. You can believe God for better things. If you're sick, well, say, admit I'm sick, but I believe God's going to heal me. I'm trusting God to heal me. Amen? I thank God that I'm healed in Jesus' name. Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any, no, not one. Hello? No, no, not one unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Unwholesome talk is not just curse words. Unwholesome talk is like just kind of negative, down and defeated attitude, grumbling and complaining all the time. Woe is me, the devil's been after me all day long. I asked God to help me. He said he would try. Hey, this is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So I've got to guard this mouth of mine. I've got to be careful that I speak words that build other people up instead of speaking words all the time that are just downers and defeated mentality. I got to get the negative words. Joel, the prophet Joel, said this. Let the weak say, I am strong. Number five, associate with positive people. Can I change that? Associate with people of faith. It's very important that you attach yourself to people of faith. That's one reason why you need to be in church. If you're not in church, if you're not devoted to a small group, then you will not be around people of faith. Your faith will not grow. And who knows what can happen? You can drift away from the things of God, and nothing new, nothing better will happen in 2019. It'll be just like all the other years. And not only that, when you fall away, you can fall into all kinds of destructive things that will hurt you and not help you. You need to get around godly people because the wrong crowd can bring you down. Bad company corrupts good morals. We need to associate with godly people. Number six, remember your future. When you are discouraged and you want to be encouraged, remind yourself of your future. Remind yourself that you are a child of God and heaven awaits you. And someday you're going to step into heaven. You're going to step into glory. You're going to see how glorious, how wonderful it is. And you're going to say, whoa, man, why did I get so discouraged? Why was I so defeated? I'm a child of God and I'm so blessed. I have eternity in a glorious place called heaven. Hallelujah. You know, if you're a believer today, the final chapter of your life has not yet been written. And there may be something right now that you're dreading. Maybe it's something that's happened because of your own choosing, your own decisions, or maybe it's just circumstances that are overwhelming you. Let me tell you something. Even if these bad things come to pass, we have an eternal hope in Christ Jesus, and our God will deliver us. This life is not the end. There is the hope of heaven, and there is the soon return of Jesus Christ. The Bible calls it our blessed hope. 2 Corinthians 5:1, now we know if the earthly tent, it's just a tent, folks. Don't put all your stock in a tent. Are you with me? It just could be blown away. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. I don't know what will happen tomorrow, but nobody does, but I'm believing God for better things. But you know what? No matter what happens, my faith is steadfast and sure. My hope is built on Christ and the eternal blessed hope that he gives. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. That sounds like faith. How are you going to have a better year this year? How are you going to get a fresh start? Stop making excuses. Take stock of your life and walk in faith. Act in faith. Believe God. So what are you expecting God to do in your life this year? Can I say this? And I want everybody to look at me. If you've not committed your life to Christ, you have every reason to be worried. But if you've put your faith in Christ, then you know what? You can walk out of here today with the calm assurance that your life is in his hands. He's going to take good care of you. There's no doubt in my mind that in a crowd this size, there are people who are worried. You might be worried about your job, a lab report from the doctor, having difficulties with your kids, an important decision that you need to make. I'm sure there are some of you that are simply tired of living in fear. Well, I want to say to you as your pastor and as your friend, just relax, take a deep breath, and trust Christ with every aspect of your life. Let's pray. Lord, we come today because we know that you are a great God who loves us, you care for us deeply, and Lord, nothing is too hard for you. And if we will put our life in your hands, we know that, Lord, this year can be a better year for us. Doesn't mean everything will get better or circumstances will change, but we know we'll be better. We also know that you are a God who can change circumstances. You can perform miracles, and help us to have faith, to lay our requests before you, and to wait in expectation. I pray, Lord, that each one of us would evaluate what we've heard today and respond to it as you would lead us, in Jesus' name.